It's good to have all of you today. Praise the Lord. And I can already see another part of the church I didn't build big enough, and it's the nursery. Today is the first day the nursery's been open. I looked back there a while ago, and it was packed from wall to wall. I thought, wow, I guess I'll have to come around the corner and put another wing around there for the nursery. It is amazing. While I was thinking about that a while ago, I thought, you know, I guess I could make another little wing off the nursery and another big plate glass in it, and then we could put all the audio and video on top of the nursery. You know, that wouldn't be a bad idea, would it? You know, so maybe, who knows. And I had another lovely lady call me this week, and she said, people have been telling me about you're moving out to your new church, and said they come back and tell me that you're still viewing on a sheet out there on the wall. I said, well, yes, ma'am, that's where we are. She said, and I have the best video screens available anywhere, and the biggest one is an 8x8, or she said the video screen's 10 foot diagonal. Which one do you want? And I said, well, I guess, you know, I'd have to check the price, but probably the 8x8. She said, price is not an object. I'm giving it to you. I said, oh, man, is good God good? Is he good? The King is so good. He gives us so much. He blesses us so many ways, but hopefully it won't be, maybe even by next Sunday. You know, I don't know if they have to order it or whether they have it or whatever, but I'll find out tomorrow when I call. But maybe next week we'll have a big 8x8 pull-down video screen, you know, that instead of a sheet. But the sheet hadn't done bad, has it, you know? we're able to. In other words, one thing I've come to realize, we can get by with a whole lot less than we think we can. You know that? We really can, and we have been blessed beyond measure. And I think about the poor people in the world that doesn't have all we have, but my heart breaks for the church, because the church is like I was most of my life. She doesn't know who she is and what she can do, doesn't know who her enemy is, how to fight the enemy, and that's why I've been teaching on this session that I've been teaching on, you know, about Ephesians and Corinthians and Colossians, and today we're going to be in Romans and Colossians and several places we're going to be all over. But before we do that, I would like to ask, is there anyone that has a testimony today that has, we got one right here. This young lady's got, she quick to raise her hand. She didn't hesitate. So what's your testimony? Come up here and give it to us right quick. Praise the King. See what the Lord has done. Amen. Now you ain't going to preach to us, are you?
Oh, no.
Okay. She's green. Isn't she beautiful today? Wow.
Amen.
I think that's on. Let me see if that's on. I think it is. Yeah, it's on. Yeah.
Okay. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
I promise you I'm not going to preach. It's a testimony. This scripture was fulfilled in my life. This contract from God to me was fulfilled in my life 2 weeks ago. I don't drive, and my husband gets about 3 hours sleep every night trying to take me to and from work and his work. And I've been burdened by it, and I've been praying. My company, they have sent several people home to work all over the country. And we have been asking for years now for that opportunity, and they said, no way. There is no necessity for that, so on and so on. 2 weeks ago, my supervisor called me and said, Ruby, we're sending you home to work.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, we're now in the process of setting up my office at home where I don't have to drive. My husband don't have to get up at 5 o'clock to take me to work. Overtime opportunity, now I can work overtime, don't have to rush home. And I'm telling you, this is a scripture that came to me, because it didn't even dawn on me to ask the Lord to bring this about.
Amen.
But he did it.
Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the King.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever.
And I just wanted to give my testimony, because last week, Sunday, when me and Precious was going home, the police officer stopped me. And me and Precious, we was having a conversation about the Lord and just, you know, enjoying the atmosphere of the day. And I was like, Precious, was I speeding? And she was like, I don't know, Ma. And I was like, okay. So I said, Father, I just pray for favor, you know? Because, you know, when you know you speeded and you get what you deserve, but if you know you wasn't or you wasn't sure, and I'm really trying to be a, you know, a good, you know, citizen and abide by the laws of the land. So the police officer came and he took my information, and I had a scripture verse on the dashboard. So he read that, and he heard the praise music, and he came back and he was like, "You have a good day." I was like, "Okay."
Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know my wife's got one now. She wants to tell y'all about something she heard about Christ Haven. She's got a, she had the biggest Christ Haven deal this year she's ever had.
I know. Last year we raised over $60,000, and so, you know, I thought, oh, it's going to be so hard to meet that. Well, we raised over $68,000 this year. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
On that scripture there, Ephesians 3:20, I can tell you that. Well, we helped 334 children and 135 adults have Christmas this year. And one of the centers that we helped was Open Arms. And Open Arms has adoptive. Open Arms are women that are battered, abused, and are the only way you get in this program is if you're living on the street or you're living in your car with your children. Okay, so to get into Open Arms, that's what you're. What a wonderful, you know, requirement to have to live in your car on the street.
Oh, wow.
And then once you get in that, they get you jobs, they get you a car, and they get you a place to live, and they move you into another program called Adopt a Family. Anyway, they wrote us and they said, "Dear Cheryl," this was from the Community Enrichment Center that's over Open Arms and Adopt a Family, "I want to sincerely thank you and or your group," which is y'all, "for participating in our adoption program this past year at Christmas. It was truly a blessing to work together this past holiday season. You do not realize how encouraging it is to see so many groups and individuals willing to provide gifts at Christmas. For most of us, Christmas is an exciting and wonderful time of the year. However, for the families we serve, it can be filled with anxiety, guilt, and frustration because of their inability to provide anything additional, such as gifts at Christmas, for their family. As a sponsor, you help to alleviate stress and truly blessed others through your generosity. Again, thank you for your commitment to the Adopt-A-Family and to the families we serve in your community. As ever," they signed it, "as ever, Together for Families, Donna Riddick, Program Director."
So,
y'all did that. Okay, I got a card this week. Actually, I got a card yesterday. All right, these are some of the children from Christ Haven. This is one particular cottage. They all signed it. It's from Brian and Tammy Combs. They're the house parents. And then Brian Jr., Amber Combs, Maria, Cheyenne, Cooper, Rhett, Melena, and Jennifer. "Thanks for making our Christmas at Christ Haven extra special. Sincerely, Cottage One." And they sent pictures. I guess it was pictures that they took of the Christ Haven event. So if y'all want to look at them, some of the different kids are in these pictures. And I just want y'all to know how much that y'all really blessed so many people. And it was so humbling to me that every time, well, right at the very, kind of at the last, when I thought I was going to run out of money. I never run out of money with a king.
Yeah,
what is
right,
wrong with
right.
me? Anyway, so I was like, oh, Lord, I was having all the girls around there pray for me. And I was over here. I had them pray for me before I walked in here, and I found a quarter outside. And I said, okay, I received that, Lord. You know, my abundance is coming. And I walked in here, and I can't even remember who it was, but somebody handed me $100 or $200. And then John Wallace walked next door and picked a kid. You know, it just was like it just started rolling at that point. By that next day, in a 24-hour period, I got $8,000. The next day was $4,000. The next day was a couple thousand. So it just started rolling when I thought that when I was feeling at my worst that, oh, I may not can get this done and I'm going to disappoint all these kids, you know, because I tried so hard to make everybody happy. But y'all did it, and thank you for blessing the King and showing how much, you know, you love Amen. People.
Praise the King. Glory to God. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, we got one more hand up back there. Come on up here, brother. Praise the King. Let's give God the glory. Whatever the King done, we want to praise Him. He's the King. Is He not? He's the King. Okay, who's going to talk?
Translate.
Okay, translate.
Praise God. We're thankful to God that there is a nice church here. And we saw Pastor Thurman on the internet. And when his son and me, my husband and I, moved here, they wanted us to come here and visit the church here. We prayed for that. They were praying that when they came to visit us, they would be able to visit the church here. Him and his wife, they have four sons, four daughters, 16 grandchildren. When they got married, they prayed that they would all come to know Christ. And their wish has come true.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They want you to pray that we would come to this church. So that we would have jobs.
Because
we liked it here and moved here. And today we went to Potter's house this morning with them. There's mostly African Americans at church. Oh, he's very happy that they all know Christ. he always wanted to have friends that are African American. Yeah, Lincoln, Nebraska doesn't have that.
І я хотів би, щоб в кінці пастор помолився за Віталька, щоб його родили.
He wants at the end of church Pastor Thurman to pray for Vitaly.
Пусть вас Господь благословить, і щоб коли ми следующий раз приїдемо, щоб у вас не вмішались люди в цей церкві.
He wants for God to bless you in such a way that you would barely fit in here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We agree with that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brother. Amen and amen and amen. Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's get into the Word. Are we ready? To get into the Word. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I want to thank You and praise You for what You're doing on this earth. And I praise You and thank You for the privilege to be one of Your sons that's out here teaching Your Word and seeing You do great and mighty things. It's a humbling experience to work for the King of Kings, but it's a more humbling experience to be a son of God.
Yes,
and Lord, we thank You that we are sons of God,
yes,
children of the Most High, and You live in us. Help us, Lord, to hear Your Word and do what it says. And as we study Your Word today, as we continue on learning about who we are, who the enemy is, and how to overcome him,
yes,
Lord, I praise You and thank You for the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Lord. We're going to start out today with Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now then, you have to remember I was raised Southern Baptist. So, This translation, we're going to be in the King James. Now then, several of the translations are different in verse 1. Now then, I have been in churches before, several Baptist churches, where you hear Romans 8 taught on, and they will only use verse 1 in one of the new translations. But I want you to see what the word says in verse 1. Now, we lack, as Christians, we lack this part. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Period is what we'd like to stop. Now, some of the translations, they make that say that in verse 1. They take out this next part in verse 1. And many translations, as you read them, you will see that the part I'm fixing to read now is not in some translations. But it's in the King James, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, comma, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen. That's
right. Now then, this is something that we miss. And now, if you have a translation that does not have that second part in it, you've got to realize that some translations do leave out that second part of verse 1. But I want you to look at that again. It wouldn't be a problem if they would preach it at least down to verse 4. They'd have to get it. But I have been in churches where we would use a translation and we would teach, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, period. And then we talk for 20 minutes and then we go home. And that's the only thing. In fact, I really got upset at one of my brothers in Christ one time. And when he preached on that, when it was over, I got up and come down and sat down on the front row right beside him during the right after the invitation. And I literally told him, I said, I don't think God likes to be misquoted. And he didn't like that. But I told him, I said, today you misquoted God's word. You told this group of people that if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation to you. But that's not what the scripture says. Many people that are Christians are walking in condemnation.
Amen.
And the reason they're walking in condemnation is because they don't meet the criteria of the second part of that sentence.
Right. Exactly right.
They will not walk after the Spirit, but they will walk after the flesh.
Amen.
Now then, you can't live in the flesh. In other words, it's common today for a Christian to come home or to not come to church on Sunday afternoon, especially if it's football season. I mean, some of them won't even come to church on Sunday morning if it's football season. And then if you go to their house and you see they've got 2, 3, or 4 televisions on and they started early that morning and they go to late that night and all they're watching football. You know, there's a problem there. You know that?
Yes,
sir. Or if you go to some man or woman's house and at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 1:30, when they could be listening to something good on Christian radio, they've got some soap opera on. Now, there's soap operas on, I understand, all afternoon long. Now, I don't know. I don't watch them. But I've had people tell me, I got to get home because my favorite soap opera is coming on at 2.
Amen.
Well, I mean, I thought you were my brother in Christ. I thought you were my sister in Christ. Well, I am. No, you're not my sister in Christ. You know, you're walking in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
If you got to go and watch that soap opera, we know what the world's teaching you.
Amen.
It's teaching you sin. Well, I don't want to be involved in that because this says, if I want to live where there is therefore now no condemnation, then I have to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's what the Scripture says, is it not?
That's what it said.
Now, if you have a translation that doesn't say that in verse 1, let's go on. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. The law. You notice there's a law. There's a lot of laws.
That's right.
This is a law book that we're reading out of. The best law book in the universe.
Amen.
Now, there is laws. There is no place in the world or in the cosmos that you can go that there's not laws.
That's right.
There's either spiritual laws that rule us as Christians or there's secular laws that rule you where you go. In other words, if you get out on that highway, just like Kim said a while ago, you get out on that highway, and if you look behind you and there's a police officer got a sign or flashing lights on, number one, it was your job to be paying attention to that speedometer.
Yes, sir.
24/7, if you're driving, you need to be paying attention. You know, if you got a cruise control, set it. 65 miles an hour out there on that freeway is what the speed limit is. If you don't have one, like I don't have one on my pickup, I have to watch it.
Amen.
And if I look up, I want to see 60 and not 70. If, you know, I don't want to be 70. You know, there's only one place I want to ever see the speed limit above 70, and that or 65, then that's when I'm flying an airplane. You know, I don't never want to see the speed limit. I don't never want to see the speed below 60 ever on an airplane until I'm on the ground taxi. You know, because they don't fly that slow. You know, in fact, that big 421 we fly around in, you don't ever, ever, as long as the airplane is clean with no gear or flaps down, you don't never let it get below 120 miles an hour. That's as slow as you fly it, because at 104, it stops flying. Falls out of the sky, and so you don't get it below 120. So you, but you know, as long as you're 120 or above, hey, it's does nice. It goes and flies and every, but a car, you can't get it to 120. You know, if you get it to 120 on the freeway, some of them you can, but if you get it to 120, start between here and Fort Worth, chances are you're going to get stopped before you get home.
Amen.
There's somebody, because there's a set of laws. And on this earth, they know that down here on the ground, driving faster than 65, too many people get killed. So they made a law, and you have to obey it. Now, that you don't have to. You can disobey, can't you? And you can get stopped, can't you? And they could give you a ticket, can't they? So did you learn anything? Don't drive fast, right? Watch the speed. Don't ever let that little blue and red light start flashing above you again. Pay attention, because there's laws. Right here it says, for the law of the Spirit of life. There is a law that governs where you and me live. A law. God made a set of rules. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's my lovely bride. I don't care if it's you or your lovely bride, Bruce. We all live by those laws, don't we?
Amen.
We live by those laws. Now, God is no respecter of persons. He does not care who you are. He treats every one of us the same. There is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that law, when you learn what that law is, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to sin no more. It is a choice every day of my life, as we will see. For the law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life. In other words, just think, God came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. But the average person never gets a hold of this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So there's two laws right there. In that one sentence, we see a law of the Spirit of life and the law of death, sin and death. Now, you're going to obey one of those laws. Verse 3 and 4. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, that's the law that God laid down, this law that he wrote. For what that law, we sure do talk about a lot of laws, don't we? There's a lot of rules out there. You know that? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, he's already done that. You don't have to do it no more. It's been bought, paid for, it's done. That the righteousness of the law, now look at this one. Now, here it is. Now, and I don't care what translation you got, I've never found one that left this out in this verse. Listen to what it says. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, those Christians, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. None of the translations leave it out there. A lot of them leave it out in verse 1. But so if you, that's why God told us to study the whole book.
Amen.
Don't just read a verse. Because if you read a verse and you get a translation that says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Well, that makes me feel good, don't you, Ernest? I mean, we know we're in Christ, right? Oh, so we can just go out and sin, do anything we want to, and ain't nothing going to happen, right?
Yeah.
That, but you know, but that's the way people are.
That's right.
So then some guy goes out and runs around on his wife. You know, I mean, he's free. He's a Christian. Do what he wants. He comes home. His wife kills him. You know, he wasn't quite as free as he thought, was he? That's like that lady. That's like that lady. One day I was talking about some of these things, and this lady said, "I don't understand what you're trying to say." And I said, "Well, I looked back at him and I said, are you two married?" "Yeah, 25 years." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Has your husband been a good guy and come home and provided for you all those 25 years?" She said, "Absolutely. He's a great man. I love him with all my heart. He's been a good husband, good provider." I said, "Okay. Has he ever run around on you?" "Absolutely not." I said, "Oh, okay. So he's been faithful to you for 25 years. I said, "This next week he goes out and he don't come home for a few days and he don't call. And then he finally shows up about a week later and you say, where have you been?" "Oh," he said, "I run into one of my old girlfriends and I spent a couple of nights with her this week." I said, "Are you going to be mad at him?" She said, "He's going to need a doctor." "Oh," I said, "You're not very loving and sweet and kind and forgiving, are you?" She said, "No." I said, "You mean you ain't going to share him with an old girlfriend even one night out of 25 years?" "No." I said, "Oh, isn't that amazing how we can see it so clear when we talk about this law, you know?" But she didn't want a husband that's out running around, did she, Ernest?
No,
now, you don't want a wife that's out running around either, do you?
No,
see, I don't care who you are. That's the way we're made. That's the way we're made. You know, I mean, wow. It's just amazing how people can see how simple this law is in the flesh, but they can't see this in the spirit. So in the spirit world, if you go out, now Jesus becomes our head. So we go out and sin against him. It's a good thing he's a little more merciful. Because this girl, she gonna said her husband's going to need a doctor if he messes up one time. Well, let's think how many times, let's just think about our life since we became a Christian. How many of us have never broken God's spiritual law? There ain't none of us. But see, why do we do that? It's because you're just like I was. You didn't know who you were. You didn't know what the law was. And you spent more time with the world. Oh, you go to church on Sunday, you know, because you're just supposed to. It's a normal thing everybody's supposed to do. You know, if you're a good Christian, you go to church on Sunday. And then Sunday, soon you can't wait till that preacher gets through talking. So you can get out and go home and either go to the lake or play football or go out and get something to eat. And then after it's over, I say, "Hey, Frank, hey, how you doing? Where you been?" "Well, I've been to church." "Well, what happened?" "Oh, the preacher had a good preacher. Didn't preach a good message." "What was it about?" I forgot. It's only been 30 minutes since he was down there. But yesterday he was down looking at he happened to walk by the store and looked at there's a new high finagle computer, you know, and he stops and he looks at some of this, spends 5 minutes looking at that. 6 months later, I say something about a Anita computer. "Oh man, I seen one just exactly like you." He remembers everything about that computer. Y'all know where I'm coming from? Or a girl, you know, she happens to walk by and sees this beautiful dress in the shop. And 6 months later, somebody says something about, "Oh," she said, "I saw the most beautiful dress in that store." She remembers the color, the spots, the ribbons, the everything. The price. Oh, yeah. Remembered everything. Now, why is it we can retain such things in the world so easy and so good, and we can't remember the spiritual things? Because, folks, we got an enemy. We got this devil that the Lord's been telling us about. We fight not against flesh and blood. He don't care if you, he don't care, Frank. He don't care if you go down and look at, you can spend all day looking at them computers and he'll let you remember everything. He don't care. But don't get in the Word now. Don't start trying to remember the Word of God and start walking in obedience to that because he don't like that. We have an enemy.
Amen.
And this beast, we have got to learn who this enemy is. We've got to learn what the law of God is. And we've got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Because if you and I could walk in the Spirit 24/7, How much condemnation is there to us if we can walk in the Spirit 24/7? Oh, don't you love that?
Amen.
He come to give us the law of life. In law, the law of life. In fact, a gentleman was telling me a while ago how sad this is. He was just telling me about a lady that had a little problem, and they were going to take her down and check her out, and somebody tried to talk to her about getting Jesus to heal her, and she just couldn't receive that. She wasn't going there at all. I mean, give me a break. Just kind of turn your back. And so she goes down and she has surgery. They open her up and it's got a little problem with a lung, and they cut a little piece off and they sew it up. And 2 weeks later, it hadn't stopped bleeding.
Wow.
So they have to go back in and cut her open again. And this time she dies. Just a little tiny surgery on the bottom of a lung.
Right.
Cut a little piece off and it wouldn't stop bleeding. Do you know? I have no idea how much two surgeries cost her or her insurance company, but I bet you those people, although they killed her, I bet they charged her, don't you?
That's right.
They expect her to pay that hospital bill or her estate to pay that bill. And you know, if she could have believed Jesus and had known what we know from the Word of God, she could have been walking in the spirit of the law of the Spirit of life, and she wouldn't have had that problem in the first place. And if she had got it and she had repented of it and somebody had prayed the prayer of faith for her, the girl could have been healed and Jesus wouldn't have charged her anything.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
What's available, and we just don't believe it. It says, but that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, who are you going to walk after?
The Spirit.
That's my goal.
Yes.
I want to be in the Word of God. In how do you walk in the Spirit? You got to be in the Word.
Amen.
If you're not in the Word every day, you can't walk in the Spirit.
Right.
You know, if you're only interested in just living the way of the world. You know, going home watching television or going home sitting there eating a sandwich and talking about nothing. You know, if it's not talking about Jesus, you're talking about the wrong thing.
Amen.
You need to stay in the Spirit. Now then, when we go from here, Romans 8, let's go on down to verse 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now then, if you want to go watch a football game today, I mean, if there is such a thing, I don't even know if they're still playing. Or if you want to go get out, you know, this afternoon to go eat, if that's all you got on your mind is eating and you're not interested in meditating on God right here, then you're totally being led by the flesh. Your flesh is ruling you. But if you want to learn what God's Word says and you're hungry for this Word, then you're training yourself how to walk in the Spirit. You know, I don't know about you, but it's taken me too much of my life to learn these things. I now only wished I had started earlier. Ernest, if me and you, if our interests had been after the Word of God when we were young men instead of after the things of the flesh, I mean, just think where we might have been.
Amen.
Why are we as young men going the wrong path? Because we don't have any older men that are walking in integrity in the Word of God that we can look up to and say, wow, look at what that man did. Look what that guy can do. I want to be like him someday. But, you know, if we had men that were walking in a love walk with God, men that were bold, I mean, men that walk in love, but they don't put up with the nonsense of the world. You know, when the devil comes to you and tries to get you to do something, we're not supposed to cower down. We're supposed to stand up strong. I mean, I think about our good friend back there, Joshua, that's come from Canada. He come down here for a meeting down here, and he's been down here, and today he's here as Yesha's brother. But if I ever visited a country in my life that needs Jesus, it's his country. It's as bad up there as it is here. In fact, when I went up there the first time, the lady asked me, when I come in and had to show them my credentials to get in, my passport, she said, what are you here for? I said, to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Well, where are you going to preach? I said, in a church.
Amen.
Well, I mean, she didn't. She said, you go over there down that red line and talk to that person down yonder. I went down there and Cheryl says, you messed up. I went over there and I told that lady, I said, do you know Jesus? That's the first thing I asked him when I walked. I said, do you know Jesus?
Right.
No. What are you here for? To preach the gospel. Do you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm a man that loves God and I don't bow down to nobody or nothing but Jesus. That's what we all got to become. Men of integrity. Men of God. Men that walk holy. Men that are known for our holiness and righteousness and our clean, pure thoughts and our clean, pure language. And when we speak, God shows up. And when somebody comes that's been beat up on by the devil, we lay hands on them, kiss the devil out of them, and get them set free. When you walk in power with God, that's when the young men will want to be like you. They no longer want to be like that football player. Here a while back, Cheryl sing at some kind of a big thing 2 or 3 years ago, and there was some big football player. Earl Campbell. He was there also, and Earl Campbell was only in his 40s. 47 years old, and this guy obviously has made millions playing football, but he was so stove up, he couldn't hardly walk. Is that awful, Ernest? A man that used to fly through the air and tackle them and do all that stuff, and was a young man, would die to be like Earl Campbell. I want to be like him. But here he's 47. He's lived under the law of the spirit of death. And here he's stove up, can't walk. And here I am, almost double his age.
Amen.
But I've walked in the integrity of God's word. And I don't have a bone in my body that hurts. I can do anything I want to do. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on our King. You can do the same thing. See, I don't live under the law of the spirit of death. But I live under the law of the spirit of life. But my heart breaks for that man. Breaks for him. We need to be able to pray for men like him and get him healed. Verse 6, look what it says. For to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
I mean, so you want to die early?
No.
I ain't never seen nobody, whether worldly or Christian, that wants to die early. Everybody wants to live a long time. What does the scripture keep telling us? To be carnally minded is death.
Come on now.
Every time you sin, what you're doing, as I have learned, every time you sin, I don't care what you do, anytime you break one of God's spiritual laws, you're opening a door to a demonic spirit that's coming in and beginning to whittle away your life. That's why when you see somebody, they say, well, you know, I've been drinking for 10 years and I'm not dead. I've been smoking for 25 years and I'm not dead. Well, let me tell you, if you've been smoking for 25 years and you're 45 years old, I'd like to take you out on the road and run you a 2-mile race and see which one of us gets there first. I can tell you which one of us is going to get there first. And I'm going to tell you another thing, too. Every one of those dollar bills you paid for a pack of cigarettes, I invested in the kingdom of God, and I got money, and you don't.
All right. Amen.
Isn't that sad? And you know that we are just being deceived by the enemy.
Yes, sir.
This enemy, he's out there. He loves it because you're a Christian.
Amen.
He's going to get you. He's going to get you to go down that wrong path. I mean, and think of the young people today in schools. I mean, I listened to Dr. James Dawson here a while back on the radio, and he was telling how many young people before they're 18 commit suicide. It's awful. It's just more than terrible. I think, look at the potential in them young men. Young men that could grow up to be men of God, that could be great people for the kingdom of God, that the King can use to do great and mighty things for His kingdom. And what are we doing? We're out there living in the world. I mean, oh yeah, we know who all the football players are. We know who all the hockey players are, or wherever you live, whatever kind of sport, you know who all those things are. But I say, how about the New Testament? The what? The New Testament. What's that? So it ain't going to do no good to ask them what John 3:16 says then, is it? They don't even know what the New Testament is. And that's about the way it is with some of our people in the church. That's got to change. You and I as older men, and you and I that's here today as younger men, we're going to have to start learning the Word of God and walking with that great integrity and holiness of God's Word. So when somebody sees you, and it may take a few years for this to happen, but when you say, Frank, oh, that's the guy that every time I see him, he reminds me of Jesus. Now, don't you look back there, Frank. That's the way you've got to be known. You know that? That is your responsibility as a man of God.
That's right.
To be a man of integrity. And when somebody says, Frank Lugenheim, oh, that man reminds me of Jesus. He walks and talks just like Jesus. Or Ernest, oh, he reminds me of Jesus. And whenever somebody says that, his wife ought to automatically say, oh, my Lord. I'm serious. Now, guys and girls, y'all all know if we as men would walk holy before the King and be an example of Jesus Christ in our life, the Scripture says in 1 Peter 3 that our wives would call us Lord. They would call us Lord. And they'd look at you and say, boy, am I glad I'm married to you. Isn't that right, Lisa? And when they're men of God, you can love him. When he's a devil, you don't want him in the house, do you? You said him to me. And I have to kick the devil out of him and get him straightened up. No. As a son of God, we don't want to have to kick no devils out. But unfortunately, there is a lot of men of God out there that has a lot of devils.
Amen.
And we have to kick those devils out. Now, those devils will automatically leave when you line up with the Word.
Amen.
And start studying the Word and become obedient to the Word. Those devils will automatically go away. Because guess who's in control? The Father.
Amen.
Jesus is in control. And when you start lining up with the Word and start walking under the law of the Spirit of life, then the Lord says, okay, we've just passed one more hurdle here. Now, you demons that I sent over there against Bruce, you guys go away. Leave him alone. And slowly but surely, as he learns the Word, he gets rid of all devils, all demons, and then Bruce gets to walk without a headache and in divine health.
Amen.
Now, which one's better?
Walking without a headache.
Oh, walking without a headache. You've only got to do that for a few weeks, but being without a headache is better than being with one for 20 years.
That's right. Amen.
You know, I've seen that so many times. I think about this little lady, a beautiful lady that I met at an out-of-town teaching one time, and I was teaching the Word of God down to a little Assembly of God church, and she came to me, and she said, Pastor, would it be possible for me to meet with you tomorrow afternoon before church? And I said, sure, I'm staying up here. One of the ladies in the church here had a bed and breakfast. She's providing that for me. I said, I'm staying up there at her little place. She had like four rooms upstairs that were bed and breakfast. And I said, she's got a nice big room downstairs there. I'd be happy to meet with you tomorrow afternoon about 2 or something like that. So she came up there. I sat down with her and she said, my husband of 25 years just passed away with cancer just a few weeks ago. And she said, actually a few months ago, it was like 4, 5, or 6 months ago. And she said, I got the feeling a little bad, and I went in, and the same cancer he had has come over to me. And she said, she broke down and started crying, said, what do I need to do? I said, well, ma'am, your answer is in the Word. So I sat there that day with that woman and another man. And for 3 or 4 hours, she says, if you could hear her give her testimony, she said, Thurman literally pounded the Word in me for hours. She said, he would say, read that verse and tell me what it says. She said, I would read it, and I'd say, well, it really doesn't say nothing to me. He'd say, read it again. This time, read it out loud. So she said, I read those scriptures over and over, and when I couldn't get it, he'd say, this is what it says. And he'd quote it to me and said, when he quoted it, it come to life. So she said, I sat there for hours with him, and finally, at the end of that, he asked me, now then, woman, have you got enough faith to realize who you are and to get healed from this devil? And she said, yes. And so she said, I repented of every sin, my sins of unbelief and everything else. And she said, one of the major problems, I'd only had the cancer for 2 or 3 months, and it wasn't bothering me that bad yet. But she said, the allergies and the sinus headaches I'd had for 30 years, she said, I couldn't exist without medication every day of my life. She said, I thought then, I don't have to have these either, do I? I said, no, you don't have to have none of that, because you're going to move from the law of sin and death to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And she moved over there. She repented of every sin. I kicked them devils out of that woman, prayed the prayer of faith for her, and that woman left. And for the first time in her life in 30 years, no headaches. That woman has changed. That woman still sends a donation to our ministry every once in a while. She still calls and wants CDs and DVDs and said, what you teach from God's Word? She said, no longer do I have cancer. No longer do I have my sinuses. No longer do I have allergies. I'm healed for the first time in my life in 30 years.
Amen.
Hey, the law of sin and death has been with us forever. The law of the Spirit of life has been with us 2,000 years. You've got to get a hold of it. You've got to walk in it. If you're carnally minded, if you want to live in the world, what does it bring? Death. But if you're spiritually minded, in other words, you dwell on the Word, you don't listen to the secular radio, you don't listen to secular television, you don't read secular magazines and radios, you throw that junk away. You meditate on the Word of God. What does it say? That's how to be spiritually minded. It brings life and peace.
Amen.
Life and peace. Next couple of verses, Dave. Because of the carnal mind, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It cannot, the flesh cannot yield to God. I mean, the flesh, if you take an invisible God right here and you say, right here is an invisible thing that you can have. Well, I don't see nothing there. But here is a beautiful dress or a beautiful suit of clothes that you can have. Oh, which one are you going to? Oh, I'll take this because you can't see that. This is invisible. This is why it's been so hard for us, because we can't see the things of God. They have to be spiritually discerned. But we can see the things of the world.
Amen.
I mean, you know, if you're a young boy in high school, every young boy in high school wants to be popular. You know, that's just the way we're made. They really do. No, don't lie to me. You know, they may say, no, I don't want to be popular. But if you tell me that, you're lying to me. I know the flesh.
Yes, sir.
I've been flesh. You know, I know what it's made of. And it wants to have other people like it. Yeah, that's just the way it is. I don't care who you are. So if you can be the number one string quarterback, I mean, and you're a handsome dude, you know, and you know you got it together, all the girls just fall over you. They wound when you walk down. Oh, you know, that's the way every young boy wants to be.
Amen.
But every one of them ain't going to be like that.
Amen.
But who cares whether anybody in the world likes you or not?
Right.
Who cares if the girls think you're beautiful or handsome or whatever? I ain't trying to please the world. I'm trying to please God. And when I'm spiritually, I walk down this aisle and they say, I don't want nothing to do with him. That's okay. I get up here a little while and here's a little guy and he has a very severe sickness. And I walk up and I say, son, how would you like to be healed? I'd love it to say, well, I walk with God and I'm going to lay my hands on you and Jesus is going to heal you. And he does.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. They said, what is it about this guy? Well, nobody's going to be your friend, but when they get sick, they're going to come see you.
Amen.
They're going to come see you. Because they know there's something different about you.
Yes, sir.
And what is that something that's different? It's right. God. Right, Sharon?
That's right.
It's God.
Amen.
Now then, you know, it's amazing that in this little tiny thing, Cheryl calls us a little beacon. A little beacon light. She says, honey, it's like God's put us a little tiny place out here in the middle of nowhere, and we're shining a bright light all over the world. I said, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And when people learn, when they hear, they'll hear me talk about this woman that used to be my basket case, and now she's praying for people and miracles are happening. They call the minister center and say, I want to talk to that basket case woman, Sharon Jones. I understand when she prays, things happen. Why do you think they want to talk to her, Tom? Because she knows. She learned, and she gets her answer, her prayers answered. This girl is walking under the law of the Spirit of life. Is that right, Deborah? And you do the same thing. There's several of you in here that's learning how to walk under the law of the Spirit of life. And you're learning how to walk in divine health. Now, Sharon walked under the law of sin and death so many years that whenever I first met her, I mean, she was the basket case. I mean, brain tumors. I mean, you talk about a 40-something-year-old woman that had lived in the world and was reaping the results. It was her. But how many more people do you know in the world's living the same way?
Amen.
Multitudes of them.
Amen.
And going to church every time the door's open. But yet we're living carnally. We're not living under the law of the Spirit of life. But when you get a hold of somebody that can show you how this works, and like Sharon, when people say, I want what Sharon's got, you can have what Sharon's got. You can have what Cheryl's got. But they didn't. None of them get it overnight.
Right.
I know when Cheryl got healed and she started coming to church all the time, started spending 2 or 3 hours a night in the Word. I know when Sharon got healed, I don't think Sharon missed a Tuesday night Bible study, a healing school, a Sunday service. And then in between, she's in the Word every day.
Amen.
That's how she got to where she got. It didn't happen easy. Everybody says, oh, but I want it, but if it's easy. Well, let me tell you, forget it. It ain't easy, Jack. It's not easy. God didn't make it easy. That's why so few people ever get it. You got to spend time with God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and that's so sad that so many of us in the church have a carnal mind. Do what?
Surgery and chemo is not easy either.
No, it's not. That's right. Surgery and chemo is not easy either, and it's a whole lot more expensive, and it kills you. But that's the carnal mind.
Amen.
It brings forth death. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, if you're in the flesh and you can't please Him, guess what you're going to get from Him?
Not much.
That's right. Not much, if nothing, right? Verse 9 and 10. But ye, technically speaking, you are not in the flesh. You're not supposed to be. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, how does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Can you be a Christian and still not have this Spirit of God dwelling in you? Yes, you can. You really can. You can be a Christian and not have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You can be a born-again Christian. It says, so if so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he says he is none of his. Now, that when you look at that, that's kind of hard to grasp right there. I said one thing, and the Word of God, it appears to say something else. You think, hey, this is confusing. This really is confusing. So you have to stop and meditate on this a minute. Now, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Your body is supposed to be dead. Now then, when it's dead, you can do great things. But the only thing we've learned how to do is resurrect this beast. We can let it come back to life, and then we can kill it again. And then we can resurrect it, and it'd come back again. You can be having the greatest day. Now, I know none of y'all are like this but me. But you can be having the greatest day walking in the Spirit, and somebody says something wrong to you, and all of a sudden, you're back in the flesh. You want to reach up and get them. Anybody ever done that besides me?
Amen.
You have to control yourself, don't you? I mean, you want to just reach up and get them. Now, why is that? Because the flesh, it's hard for that beast to stay dead, isn't it, Ernest? Yeah, you know what I mean. You and me both been there, haven't we? We're human beings. We've lived. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. The body. And if Christ be in you, your body is supposed to be dead because of sin. Supposed to be. Verse 11 and 12. But if. Every time you see that but and if together, you need to really pay attention. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Now that's awesome. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You don't have to live after the flesh. The world will tell you that you have to live after the flesh. And do you know, you can just have sat down to a beautiful meal and eat too much. I know none of y'all ever do that either besides me. But I sit down sometimes and eat a beautiful meal, and because of Yesha, sometimes she puts some, you put your feet under a good table when you put your feet under her table. Amen. She got some good groceries there. Oh, Bruce and Dave in on that too already. Oh, it's easy to overeat, isn't it, Bruce? And especially when it's good, right? So she puts a good table there. We can do that. And then we could go sit down or go somewhere. And if you happen to be a television watcher, you can go and sit, boy, am I full. And you sit down and kick back and start watching television. And in about an hour, you watch some kind of a movie. And all of a sudden, they got this most delicious dessert on the screen. You think, I got to have some of that. I got some of that in the refrigerator. I hadn't even thought about that. Now, your belly's still saying, no, you're too full now. You can't tighten your belt. You had to loosen it. Don't do it. That's your spirit talking to you. But your flesh is saying, oh, go get that. Oh, wouldn't that be good? And what do? We go get it. How sad. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. You're not a debtor to satisfy this beast you live in.
That's right.
It don't have to be happy.
That's right.
Not to the flesh, you live after the flesh. Verse 13 and 14. For if, now this is very important. For if you live after the flesh. Now, is it possible for a Christian to live after the flesh?
Yes,
absolutely. We know that, don't we? We don't want to, but we can. For if you live after the flesh, what's going to happen to you? You'll die. You want to die early?
No.
I mean, you ask anybody, I don't care if they are lost or saved, are you ready to die? And you know what most of them will say? No. I mean, I don't care if it's most of them, 20, 25-year-old young man, if he knows anything at all, he ain't thinking about death at 25, is he? No, he's thinking about blowing and going, doing something, He's going to be playing football. He's going to be doing something, But, hey, let's get in the Word. What? Study the Bible? I'll do that when I get old. You may never get old. Because it says there, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Why do you think so many men, I'll go to men, but why do you think so many men are so stove up in such bad shape? Because they've lived after the flesh.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You think about that. Of course, I can't leave the ladies out. Some of you ladies have done the same dumb thing. Y'all have lived according to the flesh too. And I'm going to tell you, if you live according to the flesh, it's going to bring some kind of pain and torment and sickness and disease into your life. And people are sick and afflicted in the church all the time. And they have no idea why they're dying. But I'm going to tell you, and this is a hard one for the church to get a hold of, but the church is not supposed to be sick.
Amen.
I mean, under the law of God, He promised under the law, if we would obey the written law, that He, God, would take how much sickness away from us? Now, if God promised, I guess y'all don't think God's capable of doing that.
Yes, he is.
Oh, you think He is, do you, Terry?
I know He is.
You know He is. I know He is too. So if we know under the law, God made that statement over and over, if you obey me, I will take all sickness and disease away from you and you will have none. Then if we got a better covenant today, I was just talking to Kim and Scott back there a while ago when they first came in, and there are three little children running around here, and I'm talking to them, and she says, you know, since we started claiming Psalms 91 2 years ago, us or the children haven't had a sick day.
Amen.
See? But Psalms 91 says, for those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and those that say that the Lord thy God, He is my refuge, He's my strength, in Him do I trust.
Amen.
That didn't say anything about watching television or listening to the radio, did it? You see where I'm coming from? It didn't say anything about reading your favorite magazine. But it does say meditate on the Word.
Amen.
Study it day and night, and then your ways will be prosperous, and then you will have great success. So I want to be prosperous and have great success. Don't you?
Amen.
I think about how good God has been to us since we've been trying to do and trying in this little ministry to walk in obedience to His Word. This last week, of course, as some of you can tell, when you go into the bathrooms, they are taped and bedded, you know. They're not finished. But as you can see, the nursery is open. The windows and glass is in. We've got a lot more sheetrock up. We've worked a lot of long, hard hours in here this last week. But this building, you know, 5,600 square feet with everything we have, we're almost up to $57,000 total for this building where we are right now. Paid for. I mean, God brings the money in every week. Anytime I need, just like this week, I needed to go buy $2,000. One of these men in this church gave me a 10% discount coupon for Home Depot. I took it and went and bought $2,000 worth of stuff. And when I bought the $2,000 worth of check, got home, Cheryl told me some guy we'd never heard of sent a $5,300 check to help pay for the church. I didn't even know who he was. Never heard of him. I mean, will God pay your bills? Sure He does. You know, so obviously we're doing our best to serve the living God. He is paying to build this building. It's wonderful. In the few months we've been here and the men God sent to have this building up and completed and where it is now and for everything we've got done here and only have $57,000 in this building. You know, there's not a lot of people can build a building this size for $57,000. But, and praise God, I know when we built the one over here in Justin, you know, we didn't build it. We built it for millions. But we didn't build it debt-free. We had to have a note. And, of course, when I was at Lakeland, we didn't build that one debt-free. We had a huge building program. And, of course, it's a big, beautiful thing. But, you know, you don't have to have a big, beautiful building that costs $16 million to preach the Word in.
All right.
Yeah. So I'd rather have one that's paid for than forever Sunday me standing for, okay, don't y'all forget to give your tithe plus your building program, you know. We got to have that money this week. We got a huge interest note we got to meet this week. No, well, let me tell you, we don't have no interest note.
Amen.
We don't pay no interest. You know, all the money's given, we pay it for parts and materials, but there ain't nothing paid for interest, not a dime. In fact, our credit card, the one I use for the ministry, paying the radio bills and all the stuff I had to pay and the cam orders and everything else, last month was $25,000. And whenever I started to pay that $25,000, I was about 7 days late. I had missed it. And I went in there and they had a $79 charge of some kind and a $39 late charge. And so I called. I told them, I said, you know, I did mess up. But I said, I usually pay my MasterCard bill at least once and sometimes twice a month. And I do spend anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 a month with y'all.
Wow.
And the lady looked and she said, you're right. And I said, you know, I sure would appreciate it if you'd take those off. She said, no problem. We'll take off the late payment and the interest payment. No problem. So they give me the $79 credit and the $39 credit. And I thought, well, if she even hesitates, I say, you know, there's other companies I could use. And, you know, if you spend $20,000 to $30,000 a month and they get 2 or 3 or 4% of that, you know, that's a lot of money. All you got to do is say, let me talk to a supervisor. And that's as far as it goes. They're going to take care of you.
Amen.
Now then, if you're behind and you're late every month and you've got $1,000 and you or $5,000 and you can't pay it and you've been late all year long, they ain't going to give you no break. They ain't going to give you no break. But, you know, this little ministry is beyond my wildest dreams. If you'd have told me the day was coming when I had to have $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 a month to pay the bills for a ministry I was attached to, I said, who are you talking about? I'd have been like Frank a while ago when he looked back. When I said, he's like Jesus, he looked back and see who I was talking about. No, but we need to realize with the King, he could make this thing $1 million a month, couldn't he, Frank? Yeah. I mean, we got to get to where, hey, God, this is your ministry. If you want to send more of these things out, you want to do bigger things and build bigger buildings, you want to fill this thing up, Lord, we're just going to teach your word.
Amen.
We're just going to teach your word. That's all we're going to do. But so far, he has sure blessed us. I will say that.
Amen.
He's paid all the bills, and it's wonderful to have those paid up. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God.
Amen.
Do you know? It takes a long time for you to get a hold of the fact, I'm not a nobody. The world will tell you, oh, you ain't nobody. You're nothing.
That's right.
Hey, you can tell me that all you want to. You got to me too late. I'm a son of the King of the universe. I work for God. And I ain't trying to please nobody else on this world but God.
Amen.
I want to please the King. And if I please the King, then he's going to meet all of my needs. And he's going to bless me. And when I pray for people, he's going to heal them.
Amen.
He's going to set them free.
Amen.
And do you know, when you have a healing school like we had just the other day, and we have people from all over the world come to that healing school.
Mm.
You know why those people came? Because they heard God shows up at this little church.
Amen.
We didn't advertise. They just go out and tell their friends when they get healed. God shows up down here, you know. And, I mean, just like this, last night, I talked to a lady. I talked to two or three ladies last night. But one I talked to, she said, I talked to this lady, Terry. And she sent me a little, like a booklet. I don't know what it was, but something about how wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. And she said, I didn't know none of those things. It's changed my life and my family forever.
Amen.
See, you had a tremendous impact.
Praise the Lord.
Tremendous impact on that. But that's not the only one. You have an impact on all kinds of women out there.
Amen.
Because they don't know.
That's right.
You know, but what you've learned, you're using it for God's glory to get other women set free.
Amen.
You know, when women learn what God created them for, to be a helpmate to a man. I don't want to bust any of you ladies' bubbles. But God didn't make any of you to be a vice president of some corporation to run the show. He made a man to do that.
Amen. Amen.
He made you to submit to a man. You know that? You know why this world's in the shape we're in right now? Because too many women are trying to run the show. They're trying to be the men. And why are they doing that? Because us stupid men are not taking their position to do what they're supposed to do.
Amen.
They're sitting home doing nothing, letting their wives do it. Well, let me tell you, you know, if you're not the spiritual leader, you know, you need to be, guy.
Amen.
You know, you can't do it letting your wife come to church and you go out fishing on weekend. That's why we got the women that's trying to run the thing, because us men are not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
And that's why this whole thing's so lopsided. You know, if all of us would be men,
Amen.
You know, that would be men of integrity, that would love our wives, marry them, and be married to them forever. You know, I mean, your wife, you make a commitment. You know, I have a deal in my own family. Cheryl and I went to the wedding just the other day. In July. And one of my cousins, 28, 29-year-old, beautiful young woman, great Christian, married a great Christian young man. And while we were at their wedding, my aunt, she come over and she said, Thurman, one of my great-grandbabies that's here, a little bitty tiny thing about that long, probably wasn't 2 or 3 or 4 months old. I don't know how old that little thing was, little thing. She said it was born with a crooked foot. Legs all turned out. And she said, I got more faith in you and Jesus than any two people I know.
Amen.
Now, every man should be like that.
Amen.
She said, I know if you'll pray for that child. I went over and talked to my little, whatever he is, cousin, whatever you want to call him. That was the daddy of this little child. And I said, are you walking with God? No. What's wrong with you, kid? Don't you know you're supposed to be serving Jesus? But he ain't. So he had a child born with a leg crooked. He had opened the door to the devil. But I went over there as a man of God. I laid hands on that little thing, asked God to be merciful to that family and forgive his daddy of his sin. A little child, too young to have any sin. He's only weeks or months old. And I asked the Father in the name of Jesus to straighten that little leg up, and we got to see the King just turn that little leg perfectly straight. Right there. The next week, they took him back to Dallas anyway, and when they took him up here and let him look at it, the doctor said, what'd you bring that child in here for? They didn't roll that child. So it's perfect.
Wow.
That's the kind of man I want to be, don't you?
Amen.
Esther, I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be a man that when I pray, the King shows up. And he ain't going to show up for you unless you're obedient to his word. If you're carnally minded and led by the flesh, he says you can't please God, and he ain't going to do nothing for you. For as many of us are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. Just look, verse 13, one more time. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Did he tell Adam and Eve this very same thing in the garden? You obey me, I give you this beautiful woman. Now you and her walk holy before me, and I give you dominion over the whole earth. And anything you speak, you'll rule the world with your tongues. But don't sin. If you go over, I'm going to give you every garden, every tree in the garden to eat of, but one.
That's what he said.
Now if you eat all that one,
right,
you're going to disobey me, and you're going to die.
That's exactly what he said.
See, God's given us a lot of freedom here, hasn't he?
Amen.
So why do we dwell in the stuff that we're not supposed to be involved with? The stuff that's sin. Why do we get in it? Well, we do, but he tells us, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. I don't know about you, but I want to live to be whatever. Whenever the Lord gets ready to translate me out, you know what I want to be doing? I want to be building more churches. I want to be kicking devils out. I'd love to be building a bigger building and say, Lord, this is running over the seams, and I'm 120 years old. I'm standing up on the peak of a... Terrell thought this 22-footer.
Amen.
Be up there to 66-footer, standing on the top saying, glory to God, look what you've done. And the Lord said, that's it, son. I'm just taking you home. And he just translates me out. I'm 120 years old.
Amen.
Translates me out. I don't want to die with sickness and disease. Do you, Frank? It ain't no fun. It's a whole lot better to walk in under the law of the Spirit of life, isn't it? You and your children don't have to go to that doctor no more. And don't cost near as much money. Jesus don't charge you near as much to heal you as them doctors did, does he?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Okay. Wow. You know, how in the world does it get 4 o'clock this quick? I don't know if y'all may not be having much fun as I am, but,
amen,
you know, I get started. I mean, I looked at my watch. I thought, God, it's got to be about 2:45. How did it get to be 4 o'clock? Well, I ain't ready to quit yet.
Amen.
I ain't ready to quit yet. So we're going, if you get through before I do, you're dismissed to go home. But I got a little more to say. So praise the Lord. Our church is not a normal church. You know, we ain't never been normal. We ain't going to be normal. you know, difficulty at 4 o'clock, we don't have to go home, do we, Ernest? Okay, we're going to go just a little bit further here. Okay, Dave, I want to go from here. I want to go to this magnificent scripture of Romans 6, 15 through 18. One more time, I want you to see. Romans 6, 50, and I want to go there in the NLT. Romans 6, 15 through 18. So since God's grace has set us free from the law. Now, God's grace has set us free, hasn't it?
Amen.
We have freedom. God's grace has set us free from the law. Does this mean we can go on sinning?
No.
Oh, you think so? I mean, for free. I mean, good grief. You know, what are you trying to be? You trying to be an old fogey? You old woman, you? Huh? Is that what you're trying to be, mother? An old fogey? Now, you know the word, don't you, girl? Oh, you're going to be right with God. But there's people and children that'll call mama an old fogey. Mama, I mean, you just don't want me to have no fun.
They call you a legalist.
You're called a legalist. So since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Of course not. Look at verse 16. Don't you realize? Now, this is the part we've missed. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? In other words, as a Christian, who can you choose to obey? Can you choose to walk under the Spirit or after the flesh? I mean, it's a choice, just like he says right here. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin. That's clear, isn't it? You can choose sin. But look at the consequences. It leads to what?
Death.
Again, you ask, are you ready to die? Are you? Oh, this young man, he's going to start shaking immediately. Jesse, you ain't ready to die yet?
No.
So you know what you got to do, right? Stop sinning. Walk holy before God, right? Because just think. I tell you what, here a while back, I led a young man about 18 years old to Christ down at DFW Airport. His daddy was with him that day in a car. I got the boy saved. I told him, I said, now, son, this is not a game. This is life and death. Life and death. I said, now, his daddy said, well, he's been messing around with some drugs. I said, son, right now, Jesus will deliver you from those drugs, and you have the power and authority within you to never take up another one of those. You don't have to have it no more.
That's right.
You have the authority within you, which is the Holy Spirit of the living God, that when sin comes to you, you can say no. But I said, you'll have to make that choice. I said, but don't play games because it'll kill you. What does he say it'll lead to?
Death.
Well, about 6 months later, Daddy called me on a Saturday morning. Thurman, can you come down to Grapevine to Baylor Medical? My son overdosed on drugs last night. We found him in the front yard this morning. Hypothermia. The doctor says they don't think he's going to live. I said, yeah, I'll be right there. Right there. So I dropped everything. Run down to Grapevine, found the boy, walked in. Family's all there. Whole family's been called in. Aunts, uncles, everybody lives here in the Metroplex. They're all already there. Here's this 18-year-old good-looking young boy sitting there. Can't do nothing. I walked up to him. I looked down. I said, son, can you hear me? Blink your eye. He blinked. I said, you can hear me. Blinked again. He said, I can hear you. Couldn't talk. I told him, had all kinds of families standing around. I said, I told you when you got saved 6 months ago, this was not a game, but this was life or death. I said, you made the wrong choice last night. You listened to the devil instead of God's word. I said, you probably hadn't spent much time in God's word in the last 6 months either. If I was guessing, you probably spent more time with the world than you did with God. I said, so now then you played a game last night and the devil's going to take your life. I said, are you ready to die? I said, if you want to die, blink your eyes. Man, he held them wide open. I said, now then, if you want to live, blink your eyes. Man, he blinked them three or four times. I said, will you make God a promise? I'm going to tell you, this is not a game. This plan of life, the spirit leads to life and the carnal flesh leads to death. And I said, you got into carnal flesh last night. I said, if you will repent, and I know you can't talk, but I said, if you'll make God a promise, I repent from this sin, God. I will not get in these drugs no more. I will serve you. I said, he will forgive you. I said, if you're willing to make that decision, blink your eyes. Boy, he blinked them several times. I said, okay, now then that you've repented before God, I reached over and laid my hands on the young man. I said, now then, Father, in the name of Jesus, since you've forgiven this young man, he's asked for, to be forgiven. I said, I drive this devil out of him according to Mark 16, 17, and 18. I said, now you're healed, son. I said, you'll get well. I guarantee you'll be out of here. I said, don't you get back in sin no more. Amen. I just walked out the door. I walked out there, and some of the parents and whatnot, the in-laws, aunts, uncles, I remember a sister, whatever it was, or maybe the father's sister, older woman. She walked out there, and she grabbed me by the shoulder. She said, I thought you were supposed to be a man of God. I said, I am a man of God. She said, you're the most uncompassionate, unloving man I ever seen in my life. I ain't never seen a man come talk to a young boy like you did. I said, that's exactly, I'm led by the Spirit of God, and that's what that young man needed to hear.
Amen.
And I said, I guarantee that boy will be supernaturally healed. And I turned and walked off. An hour after I got home, his daddy called me and said he's already released from the hospital. I am not the healer, but I know who he is. And when I speak in his name, he shows up. Why does he do that? Because I want to walk in integrity with God. When I lay hands on you with a back injury, I want the king to hear my prayer. And you like it too, don't you, Jack? Jack got healed too. I mean, he loves it. I mean, he had back trouble all those months. One prayer. He got healed before he got to the car on Sunday afternoon at church. And he's been healed ever since.
Amen.
He still loves it. I mean, he may be Southern Baptist, but he's a different Southern Baptist. Praise God. He got healed. I mean, one Southern Baptist to another, he just goes to show God don't care what we are as long as we're walking in integrity, right? Now then, that's the kind of men we're supposed to be. But see, don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death. See, we don't believe this. Here it's written, just like God said way back down with Adam and Eve, I'm going to give you eternal life if you'll obey me. You can choose to obey God and receive his approval. Now, if you receive God's approval, how long are you going to live? Long time. Now, I'm going to take you to two verses to show you something Jesus said. And then I know we ain't going to get through all this because I got another whole bunch. We'll get that next week. But this next, I want to take you to two places. And these are so powerful. The first one is in John 8:51. I want you to see what the king said in John 8:51. Now, this is a mouthful. This is a little more than most of us can stomach. But it's written in the Word. John 8:51, Jesus is talking. I assure you, I tell you the truth. That's anyone besides Jack. No, that's not what he said, was it, Jack? That includes Jack, doesn't it? That includes Tom, right? You're in there. Anyone who obeys my teachings will die early. That's almost a little more than me and you can stomach, isn't it, Ernest? That's strong, isn't it? Roll that over in your mind for a little while. Now, Jesse, would that make serving God worthwhile? You would never have to worry about being sick or dying. Hey, wouldn't that be wonderful? Ooh. But see, the carnally minded people, they can't even, I mean, church people that are carnally minded, you can't even think right there. You said, that preacher's crazy. But see, I'm not preaching what I come up with. This is what's written in the book.
Amen.
You know, how many of you got a Bible with you today looking at it says the same thing? Your Bible say the same thing?
Yep.
Can you go there with God? Can you obey Him? How many of His teachings are you going to have to obey?
Oh,
all of them. Oh, that means you may have to change some things.
Amen.
You may have to change some things. Number one, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to study His Word. Because how are you going to do what He says if you don't know what He said?
Right.
Just Guess where I learned how to lay hands on the sick and get them healed, Jack? Watching television? Oh. Going out to eat dinner? No. Staying home locked up with the king, right? And it paid great dividends. It pays great dividends. I assure you, or I tell you the truth, anyone but your name right there, Thurman, Bob, Sue, Jack, Tom, anybody, put your name, anyone who obeys my teachings will never die.
Amen.
The average person in the world cannot go there. You can walk in divine health until God gets through with you, and one day He'll just translate you out. You'll be walking in perfect health, be going 90 miles an hour. I can just see it now. Man, I'm doing something, or I got to get something done to hurry. Man, I'm running like I do around here, and I'm running around the building. All of a sudden, I take a step, and I thought, what is this, Lord? Everything's gold. And, you know, what happened? He said, welcome home, son.
Amen.
Woo! Is that the way to go home?
Amen.
I don't want to be this. I don't want to go down there and let them cut on me, have surgery, and bleed to death on an operating table. That's not the way it was planned to be. That's carnally led people. That's not people that are led by the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, the average Christian can't go here with me. They can't even think like this. Is it written in the book?
It's in the book.
Okay, let's go to one more place. Let's go to John 11:26. I want to show you one more place. 11:26. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. Do you believe this, Martha? Put it back in the King James. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? No, I don't believe that, Lord. I don't believe that. But it's written, isn't it? Now, what do you got to do to make that work? You got to obey Him. You got to study the Word. You got to walk in it. You got to believe everything. So if that's the case, there's a lot of things in the book that's required under the law of the Spirit of life and being led by the Spirit. A lot. It's a big law book. You know, the average person's never read the new law book, not even one time. The average Christian. If I were to ask you right now, which I will not, how many of you, now, Doctor, I'm not asking you to hold up your hand at all. If I were to say, how many of you in this room have never read just the New Testament one time, if you were truthful, there would be some of you that would have to hold up your hand. You've never read it from Matthew to Revelation, not even one time. And then if I were to ask how many of you have read the entire Bible at least one time, there'd be a whole lot fewer of you that have done that. Just one time. Well, let me tell you, you ain't never going to walk in the Spirit doing that. You ain't going to do it. You know, you got to go down there, buy you a copy of the NLT or the King James or something, and put it on a CD or a cassette or whatever, and when you get in your car, push that on button. Listen to it. If you drive downtown to buy groceries or buy parts or whatever you're going to do, listen to the Word of God. That's what I do. Listen to it. I got two versions of the Bible in my car, my truck. I got different translations in every car. I got different CDs in every car. I never get in my car what I turn on something that's the Word of God. But I don't ever turn on secular radio. I don't listen to secular radio, period. I don't care what they got to say. I don't want it. I do not want to be carnally trained, because carnality brings forth what?
Death.
I ain't ready to die yet. I love being 69 and being able to run and play and do anything I could do when I was 30. I love it. Don't you, Bruce?
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, by the way, I'm going to tell you all something, too, right here. This is the end of the service today. But I'm going to tell you that Bruce, right up here, has just gotten miraculously healed through the ministry. And he is feeling better than he's felt in a long time. He had just moved here from Baltimore with his lovely bride over here, Lisa, and their children. And Bruce, he is a mechanic. And he worked in a dealership for years, and he's got a great big toolbox, and we have been doing so much work on different people's cars that I brought him in as an in-house resident mechanic.
Amen. That's good.
He's going to work on anybody's car that wants to be worked on. So if you have a car you want to be worked on, and see, this ministry primarily is to help out the widows and the people that have problems getting their car fixed. We've already fixed several. In fact, I got real tickled the other day. Last week, we had a missionary pastor. They called and said, Thurman, my car's running awful, and I got to go somewhere. And he said, I know you're a mechanic. Could I bring it up there and let you look at it? I said, sure, bring it right now. So he brought it right now, and Bruce had just finished putting a fuel pump on a car, and he brought, after he got the fuel pump put on, they showed up, and they Dave put the computer on it, checked it, it was misfiring on two, and he said, well, my cousin or somebody just put a coil pack on it, but he said, don't run no better. And so Bruce checked it right quick, and he said, well, it needs spark plug wires and spark plugs. It needs a tune-up. That's what it needs. So he gave me the numbers and the model, and I ran to Denton, got a set of spark plugs, a set of wires, and come back, hand them to him, and just in a few minutes, he had all that back on, and then took it out and drove it, and it come back, and it ran like a brand new car. And he said, how much do you? I said, well, I put about $50 our cost worth of parts. And I said, if you want to bless the ministry with something, I said, put a check in there in the box. I said, that's the way we do business. And so he went in there and put a check in there and paid us for the labor and the parts and everything that he was happy with. We were happy with it, and he was happy with it. Amen. And so that's what we've done. And so I want you to know that if you're a person that don't have a lot of money, we'll fix your car a lot cheaper, or we'll take each individual particular one. We fixed a couple of cars last week for free. You know, and it depends on the circumstances, that whether what how God leads us. I've given away everything else in life, and God has blessed me. So we're gonna do this too. So whenever you give away something, God did say, "Given it shall be given," right? And so what we're gonna do now, if you come out here and you're a well-to-do man and you got a good job and you're making good money, we ain't gonna fix your car for free. We're going to charge you something.
Amen.
We're not going to charge you, but I know when you come out here. The other day, one of the men that was here, he had a Lincoln, and he asked Bruce when we were talking about this. He says, have you ever put a heater core in a Lincoln? He said, yeah. He said, what do you think it would cost? He said, well, if you had it done at a dealer, the parts and the labor would probably cost about $700. He said, well, what could you put it in there for? No, he said, I could easily put it in there, put the heater core in and labor and everything, and still make a reasonable amount of money. And I could do it for $300.
Amen.
And he said, you know, you're pretty close. I just had a new heater core put in my Lincoln at the dealer, and that's what it cost, $700. So he said, you know, if you'd have been here, I'd have given you the $300 plus a $100 tip. See? In other words, he'd have given the ministry a $100 tip, you know, for doing that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to fix people's cars. Now, in other words, if you have a car and you're a member of the body of Christ and you're having trouble keeping your car running, you bring your car to us. Yeah, we will. We always do that. We pray over everything. In fact, here the other day, Casey's little car was running bad and he couldn't hardly get to work. So we prayed over it till we had time to fix it. And it never missed a lick, I don't think. It run all the time till we got it out here and where we could work on it. But I'm telling you, prayer, we don't, now that's something in this ministry, we don't leave that out. I mean, we're going to fix car, but we pray over everything. Absolutely. We are a praying bunch at this place. And we ask God to do great and wonderful things. But I want you to know that everybody don't have that kind of faith. And of course, your car, I think the pastor's car had 116,000 miles on since he had put plugs and points in it. It's about time.
Wow.
You know, so God had let it run a long time, hadn't he? So, yeah. But he done a good job on them. He wore them out good. You know, he got all of his money's worth out of them. And then he got it fixed at a very reasonable price.
Amen.
And, you know, so, but that's what we're going to do. and we've cleaned a bay out there in the shop, and you know, and of course, so that you'll know in the future. Right now, while we're working on this building, any cars that comes for Bruce or me or Dave to work on, we will work on them out here in this shop. But in the future, I have a 35 by 75 building down here on some more property that we own right over here on the other side of Justin, and we're going to put another 20 by 75 on the front of that, and we're going to build a building big enough to hold 10 cars. And we're going to equip that, and Bruce is going to run that, and I don't know how many people we may have to have hired in the future, but who knows how big that's going to get. But we're going to fix cars for people at a very reasonable price. And for those poor little widows that don't have any money, I'll make the decisions on every one of them. But if I got a widow coming there, she ain't got no money, she's trying her best to make a living, she's not a deadbeat now, she's laying out there and ain't willing to work, I ain't going to fix her car for free. You got to. Paul told us, if you're not willing to work, you don't eat. But if you're trying and you can't keep your car running, we will keep your car running for you.
And the donation records will be mailed out tomorrow.
Yes, and the donation records for everybody to give money to the ministry will be mailed out tomorrow. Cheryl only stayed up till 4:30 this morning getting the last one done. But she has them all done now, praise the King. And they will be out. And again, for those of you that are here and those of you that will watch these tapes, I want to thank everybody for every penny, every dollar that you give to this ministry, because we use that money to build buildings, to fix cars, to pay people, to buy equipment, to buy everything, and to reach the world for Christ. That's what it's all about. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for this beautiful day. I praise you and thank you for all the things you're doing and the ministers you've given us. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the men, given me the knowledge to do the things I can do, and then for sending me the men that have the knowledge to do the things that we can do so we can better the body of Christ. And Lord, I thank you for just being a part of this, being part of your team, being a part of a team that lives like you said, and to see you do the great and mighty things you do. And Lord, you're our King and our Lord, and we read your word and we want to be obedient to your word. And Lord, we know that if we can walk holy and obedient to your word, we will have no sickness and no disease, because it is written. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for doing that for us and blessing us. Now, Lord, as we go this week, we ask you to bless everybody that's here. And Lord, use them to get people saved, healed, and delivered. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.